Welcome to the Try Self-Love podcast. I'm Becky Barber. I'm a master life and relationship coach.
I'm Kristen Dicker. I'm a master emotional health coach.
Do you have a hard time being kind to yourself? We get it. That's why we're here, to help you learn to love yourself and others better.
Each week, we'll dive deeper into the steps it takes to develop self-love.
Let's get started. I want to welcome everyone to the Try Self-Love podcast, and I'm so excited to have my guest today, Sherry Johnson. Sherry, you're amazing, and I'm so glad that we get to talk, and you're just going to be so helpful to my listeners, I already know. So before we begin, I'm going to read Sherry's bio. Sherry helps women who are childless, not by choice, to awaken their worth in a world that makes them feel inadequate. Her passion is inspiring these women to live full and joyful lives, full of meaning instead of lack. After three miscarriages and 6 years of infertility, Sherry's coaching background and spiritual training led her to discover a process for navigating the triggers, the feelings of exclusion and inadequacy, and the lack of purpose and meaning. She packaged up this process into a formula that she teaches in one-to-one coaching and in her membership program. And women leave her programs feeling empowered with practices they'll come back to for a lifetime. I mean, that's enough right there. It's just inspiring.
Thank you. It's always strange when you hear somebody read your bio, but thank you. I'm really happy to be here.
Yes, me too. And so we've talked before. I've been on your podcast, and now I am very thankful to have you on ours. And I just, you know, just a reminder to everyone listening, like, we believe that loving yourself is the way to get through the hard parts of life. So I'm curious for you and your journey, Sherry, how hard was it to learn to love yourself?
Oh my goodness. It was so hard. Yeah. It took a long time for me. I mean, it's a journey, right? Mm-hmm. It's still going on, but I did not give myself any love throughout my miscarriages. I went back to work right away. Mm. I didn't even think I was grieving, let alone, you know, recognize that and allow myself to be comforted or to comfort myself. None of that came until later. Yeah.
Okay. I love that you said it's a journey, because it really is. It's not like you arrive at self-love. Like, it's a practice for sure.
Yes. That's the best word for it, really. It is. It's something it's like a muscle. You have to keep doing it until, well, there is no intel. You just keep doing it. And mm-hmm. that muscle gets stronger and stronger, and you love yourself more and more as a result.
Well, if you would just tell us some of your story and like how you came to be the coach for childless women.
Well, as I mentioned, it started with miscarriage. I didn't have any fertility issues before that. I got pregnant by accident, actually, the first time. And I was 39 at the time, but I had no inkling that I was going to have any issues. Mm-hmm. So I lost that first one at about 11 and a half, almost 12 weeks. And I kind of just said, well, we weren't even expecting this, so I just need to move on. Like, let's just go and get pregnant again. Hmm. And kind of buried everything. Just, I didn't stop to think about it. I kind of buried myself in work. It was busy time. And then I went on. It took me 2 years to get pregnant again, actually more than 2 years. And so by then I'm now 41. Egg quality apparently goes down pretty quick after you hit 40. So that one I lost at 9 weeks. And then, gosh, it's a long story about how I got to the third one, but I did actually eventually get pregnant naturally again. I think it was about 6 months later, and lost that one at 6 weeks. So, and then after that, it was a journey of fertility treatments. We got to the point where the only option left was to try IVF with a donor egg. And we hadn't even tried IVF before that. That was kind of our first, we tried IUI a few times and that failed. So that was really the pivotal moment when we got to that point. It was, we made the decision together, my husband and I, are we okay with not having children? Cause he didn't want to adopt. I sort of explored that route a little bit afterwards, but it wasn't right for us. And so really that moment when it wasn't a moment, it was a series of weeks and months where we discussed and debated, and it's hard to make that decision. Mm-hmm. So we ultimately felt like we could be okay, even though I didn't feel very okay at that time. Mm-hmm. That really, I think that was about, was that end of 2017, 2018. And that was really when I was starting to pivot my business as well. So because of my journey, I started as a nutrition coach and was working with women on hormone balance because of my fertility issues. I was sort of navigating towards that. And then the more I experienced, the further along I went, the more I realized that women needed emotional support and spiritual support. So I started coaching women who had losses and infertility and now childlessness. As my journey evolves, I can't tell my story about how I got into my business without telling my own story, because they are really parallel. As I moved into childlessness, then I started to coach those women as well. And the issues are similar, as I found out later.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would imagine just that sense of loss overarching in all of those different situations. A married couple who really wants kids and can't, a woman who never found the partner to have children with, right? I mean,
yeah.
People have had and lost, like there's just, we can really relate to one another.
Yes, definitely. And there's similarities I've learned through all three of those stages, all three. I don't even want to call them phases, because not everyone has all three phases. And some women, like you said, might have just arrived in childlessness because they're still single, or they married someone who didn't want children, or there's a multitude of reasons that you get there. But what I found is that all of those journeys highlight a lack of self-worth. Mm-hmm. If you have issues with self-worth, they are so, like, it just shines a light on those issues. You just feel this, I am less than mothers. And going back to our self-love conversation, you can't love yourself if you don't value yourself, and you won't care for yourself. You won't care for yourself if you don't feel you're worthy of that. So it really boils down to that.
Yeah, absolutely. So if someone were to come to you and she's single, past childbearing years, right? And as you've mentioned, now there's this amplification of that inadequacy. Like, where do you start with this person?
It depends on where they're at. So I have clients who are still very much in grief and that other stuff, the self-worth issues don't really show up as much if you're still in the depths of that sadness. So we start with that, and it's really all about feeling. And we tend to, as society, we push those feelings down. We avoid pain at all costs. I think you and I talked about this on on my podcast. We avoid, we numb, we do everything we can to avoid it. And really the way to release it is by feeling it. So we start there. I teach them how to feel their emotions in a safe environment, in a safe place.
Mm, I love that. It really is like you have to be aware. You can't ever even begin solving something unless you're aware. So you said it's important to feel it and you give them a safe space to feel it. And that grief, as we've talked about, right? There's no like, here's the manual and it's going to take X amount of time in each category and it's linear and you'll never backtrack. Like that, throw that manual away, throw those expectations away.
Totally. Yes. Yeah. And I, you know, for me, I didn't feel as much grief as I know some other women feel. So for me, it's a lot of learning and having that compassion by watching them go through it. And when I watch them, it is very, it's all over the place. You can feel good one day and then another day, it's completely different. And something, you know, someone says something and suddenly you're back right, you know, in the middle of it. Mm. And then you can feel great and think, oh, I think I'm, you know, I think I'm healed. So there's, it really isn't linear. The other thing is, depending on how much grief you've experienced before, that can compile. Like when you have a previous loss of any sort, that like you're bringing all kinds of other emotions with it. Like you're afraid of that pain, that grief. Mm-hmm. So you don't want to experience that again. But if that's not, if you haven't processed the grief of your other loss, then that too can, you know, it just brings up all those feelings again. So you, there's some women who are just, they have so much sadness. And then there's other women who move through it much more quickly. So it's very individual.
Mm-hmm. I love that point because we kind of compare ourselves to others and you can't do that in anything in life, especially in this, and loss and grief and just the different stages, whether you were pregnant and someone was pregnant longer. Like we talked about this, like pain is pain, and honor that for yourself. Don't try to compete with anybody else and just let your journey go the way it's going to go.
Yeah. And that applies, I think that applies to anything in life. Mm. Like there's one person who will be devastated over a job loss, mm-hmm. or because they've had so much other stuff leading, like so much other loss leading up to that. And then there's someone who will lose someone close to them and, you know, they appear to be okay, or they are, okay. You know, that's a whole other thing where people, you know, put on the mask and they appear okay, even though they're not, but, mm-hmm. but some people will move through, you know, a very significant loss fairly quickly. And we'll judge them too for being okay too fast.
Right. So, right. Right.
It's so, it's funny, right? How we compare, we judge, we, there's all this stuff wrapped up with grief.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. It gets complicated in those judgments and our inner voices projecting onto others. Absolutely. And the same people projecting onto us, right?
Yeah. Yes, definitely. Yeah. And that's, I mean, that goes back to the self-love too, right? The more you judge and the more you feel judged, you know, the less love you're going to give yourself. It's all related.
And the less you can give to others. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. True.
Mm-hmm. So I want to go back to your story. When you first talked about the pregnancy you weren't expecting, and then it was over before you knew, I mean, you were almost to that quote unquote safe place that doctors tell us, like, oh, once you're out of your first trimester, and it's, which is not true for everyone, but yeah. You said you just kind of moved on and you didn't even realize maybe you weren't as sad as you were in the subsequent losses, but had you been around anyone who had miscarriages, and, or was this your first experience with this type of loss?
It was my first experience, with the exception of, I'll tell you the story because it relates to what we were talking about with all the judgment, and that there was another woman at work who lost her baby at 14 weeks. And it was just before I found out that I was pregnant. I was already pregnant at the time, but didn't know it. And she did take time off work. She was the type of person who, you know, she had a headache and she would stay home. And so when she had her miscarriage, I think she took a week off. And I judged her for that. I was kind of like, oh, this girl, like, I won't say her name because she's lovely. There's nothing wrong with her, but I chastised her because of my own, the way that I was taught to deal with pain was to bury it and to, you know, to be strong. And I didn't learn how to nurture myself. I wasn't, my own mother wasn't, she wasn't a real nurturer herself. So I didn't know how to do that. And I thought, you are weak and you're taking advantage if you take care of yourself. So I just shoved everything down and I didn't even know. I mean, I was feeling grief, but I didn't really recognize it. And so I went back to work the next day. And I just kind of picked up and moved on. And just, you know, my husband and I were getting married that year and we were moving to a new city. I just piled on all the busyness and covered it up with that. That's another thing we do, right? We keep ourselves busy, socially engaged, busy at work, all to just sort of distract ourselves from what we're really feeling instead of feeling it.
No, you, I mean, you said it earlier, like we will do anything to avoid pain. That's what addictions and any of the numbing out, as you mentioned, like that's what we're doing. And it's universal. So, but I just find it interesting, like just because of the way you were raised, it was almost a threat that this woman was taking care of herself. It was like, what? And I feel the same way because that was not modeled to me. And so all of a sudden, like you've had this loss. People don't really honor these types of losses. They don't understand, first of all. Some don't even see it as like a real baby. You didn't know the baby. So how could you be grieving it, right? You can get into all of this stuff, but then at what point along your journey did you, or did you nurture yourself after a loss?
After my third one, I had really started to break open along the way. I saw a therapist. And that wasn't even because I thought I was grieving. It was because I thought I was sabotaging my chances of getting pregnant. But we talked about all kinds of stuff other than that. And so she started me on this. She opened Pandora's box, really. And I discovered through her, she was a psychotherapist, but she was also, I forget what other modality she had, but it was energy healing. Of a sort. And so we didn't just talk in our therapy sessions. We would sometimes do meditation, or she would do like body energy work on me on the table. So she sort of introduced me to this more spiritual path. And I started exploring that. By the time I got to my third, that was 2015, I was just starting to listen to some of the spiritual leaders out on the internet and reading. I was reading books and I started to meditate. I started using my journal. I started, you know, doing some of those more mindful tools. So by the time I got to my third miscarriage, which was almost 3 years after my first, I I remember I got sick when I was going through it. Like I got a cold. And so I was forced to stay in bed. And that kind of forced me into the quiet, into my feelings a little bit. So that started it. But I remember a moment where it was a pivotal moment. I found this internet site that had miscarriages, and there was a photo of a baby. This might be a moment where, if you have listeners who have had miscarriages, this may be difficult for them to listen to. So just a forewarning.
Okay, thanks.
This website had, oh gosh, it brings up emotion just to think about it. It had a picture of an embryo or a fetus at each stage. Mm-hmm. So at the 5-week mark and 6-week mark and 7. And it was almost like, you know, watching a train wreck and you can't look away. I started scrolling and went straight to the 11-week and 12-week mm-hmm. babies. And these women had, first of all, I didn't have something to wrap in a little blanket the way that they did. It wasn't even a blanket. It was like a cloth. It was a little tiny piece of cloth. And I just fell apart because I didn't even know that at that stage you could know the gender of your, like the baby already has shows, you can see its sexual organs by then. Mm-hmm. So I didn't know that. And I flushed. I know all happened in the bathroom. So I felt this huge sense of guilt because I didn't honor my baby the way that they did. I felt this huge sense of grief and sadness that just all came pouring out because of this website. And it really made me start to, I think that was really the moment where I really started to take care of myself and explore my feelings in a lot more depth than I had before, because I just didn't even know those feelings were there.
Yeah.
It was a tough moment, but it all went uphill from there. It really, you know, I think that was 2017 already. That was really, we were nearing the end of our fertility journey, and I was already exploring all those spiritual, actually, that was when I took that spiritual coaching program, and everything just changed from there. So it was really, yeah, I needed that cracking open for some reason, something to sort of catalyze my healing, because I wouldn't allow it myself before that.
Yeah, for me, I see it as like just God's breaking those little slivers into us. We can get the light in that we didn't even know we'd needed, right? Like yes. For me, I just, the walls, and we've talked about our childhood, but just the walls around your heart and whoever your higher being, right? For me, it's God, and He really wants our hearts. But
yeah.
Sometimes we do have to have those really heartbreaking moments that like literally break you open.
They do. I love that quote by, I think it's Leonard Cohen, who says, I forget the exact quote, but it's something like what you just said. Mm-hmm. That's how the light gets in. Everyone has a crack. That's how the light gets in. And it's almost like, you know, I envision a ice, like where there's, you know, you hit a weak spot and there's some thin line cracks. And then all of a sudden they get bigger, they grow, and then there's the explosion. There's like the, you know, yeah. The breakthrough.
The ground zero almost.
Yeah, that moment where you just break through that ice, and that's, you know, it's breaking through your heart. It's breaking it open, really. You know, you feel heartbroken when it happens, but then it's really that moment where it, I don't know, you just, it breaks open and then you can start to rebuild. It's like mm-hmm. putting the pieces back together. But that's where all the light is that like, that's when it comes in, is those moments.
Yeah, it's so true.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to ask you, I ask people this, And sometimes people, when they're in the middle, I would never even think to ask this because it would be harmful, but I feel like you've worked so hard on where you're at in your journey. This life without children that you thought you would have, instead of it happening to you, in what ways has it happened for you?
I love how you said that, it's almost impossible for someone who's in the midst of it to see that it could possibly be happening for them.
That would just be like an injury added upon all their other wounds. Yeah.
Yeah. Like everything happens for a reason. Mm-hmm. Right.
It's yeah, like which that. I hate hearing, but later you can actually see, wait a minute, maybe this did happen for me in some ways.
It did. I believe it did. I don't know that I would be on the spiritual journey that I'm on. If this hadn't happened, I wouldn't, and I'm a different person. I mean, there's so many ways. So number one, me personally, I'm so much better. You know, like when I first had my miscarriages, you could probably relate to this. Like you want to go back to the person that didn't know that kind of loss.
Pain. Yeah.
Before and after, and you want to go back to the person you were before. And I don't want to go back to that person now. That person is so different than the person I am today. And I am so much happier and so much more fulfilled. I'm a completely different person than I was before that. And I chalk it up to my losses, my infertility journey. It broke me open. So I had a chance to put the pieces back together in a different way, in a way that worked better. And part of that, so the second thing is that I don't know that I would have ever gotten to this place where I could serve others in the way that I am now. Mm-hmm. So I used to be in HR for, I don't know how many years. I mean, I still worked in HR up until just a year ago. So over 20 years. And it wasn't fulfilling for me. Whenever I was there, I really noticed this actually just before my miscarriage, my first one, that I was searching for something more. I knew I needed to do something different, but I didn't know what it was. But I felt this longing to do something more fulfilling, more purposeful. Mm-hmm. And that was the time when, you know, whether you call it God or the universe, or he sent me that this opportunity to change that. And I love my life now. There's moments where I still feel triggered, or I still feel kind of on that childless end of the spectrum. But most days I feel grateful for the life I have, the business I have, for the women that I serve. It's very fulfilling and rewarding. And I don't think I would actually change that at this point. As hard as it was, I think that was the way it was supposed to happen.
I love that. Thank you for sharing that.
Mm-hmm.
That's very wise. There's so much peace in what you've said. I just feel this sense of stillness in you that's just like accepting, this is it. And then I'm mm-hmm. good, right?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
That's a hard point to get to.
It is. Yeah. I would say there's definitely acceptance. I do feel at peace, but it took work. I had to take action. I couldn't just, you know, if you just sort of wait for it to happen. I know I don't have any clients in their 60s, but I've seen them on Facebook groups and they are still triggered. They're still, you know, they're still complaining about now it's their friends who are now grandmothers complaining about, you know, I'm sitting around a table with my friends and they can't stop talking about their grandchildren and it's triggering for them. And I can't imagine 20 years from now being in that place. It's a hard place to be.
Mm-hmm.
So it takes some action to get through, like to actually work through it. You have to, it doesn't just go away on its own.
No, trauma, pain, any of the wounding. No, it's, you can't just ignore it or push it down. Like it will always come back and find you. So yeah, I agree with
that. And those, you know, going back to the self-love, that, you know, if you're still being triggered 20 years from now, that's telling me that they still have self-worth issues as well. You know, if you're in a circle of women and you're childless and you don't feel like you belong because you can't contribute to the conversation and you're being triggered by them talking about their grandchildren, that tells me that you feel less than those women. You feel like you don't belong. You feel separate from them. Mm-hmm. And that's telling me that you somehow feel flawed because you're not a grandmother or because you're not a mother or wherever you are on the in your life. And that, you know, there's that muscle again that you actually need to take action and practice that self-love, the activities that cultivate self-love and self-worth. Otherwise it doesn't happen on its own.
Mm-hmm. And that's such a normal human reaction in any situation to feel less than, and your brain kind of just looks for these ways that you don't belong or you don't compare and you don't measure up, right? That's just absolutely something we have to work on to combat those messages, whether you were given them in childhood or developed some other later down the path. But especially as women, I feel like those messages are loud and at the forefront a lot. So I appreciate you said, like, we do have to work on that.
Yeah. And it's not just people who have gone through loss. Like it's moms. It's the, I'm not a good enough mom syndrome, right? It's there too. It's just whatever your experience is, it just shows up in a different way.
So I wanted to ask you, these women, I have friends that haven't married and so they don't have kids, and others who are married but couldn't have kids. And what do you want these women to know about like this childless life that looms ahead of them? And as you mentioned, when their friends are grandparents and they're not, and just knowing there's no legacy, at least at this earthly life, right? Like I believe in a life after this where everyone will have the abundance that they desire. But for now, like what do you offer to them?
Well, two things. I have an answer, but I want to address the legacy piece that you just said.
Yeah.
Because children, I mean, there's no promise of a legacy. You know, you can't expect your children to have children. So your own line could end with your kids. Mm-hmm. And the way that I think about legacy is what are you leaving for the world after you leave it? Are you leaving it in a better place than you left it? And are you, you know, what are you leaving? Like what projects are you birthing? For me, it's my business. For other people, it's artwork or it's a book or it's some technology they've developed at work or whatever it is. There are so many other ways to leave a legacy. And those things are actually, you know, if you think of a book on a shelf or a piece of art, like that is going to last far longer, long after your children pass away and their children like are gone. It's, you know, we have books from centuries ago. That's legacy. But back to your initial question, what I want childless women to know, whether they are on, you know, whether they made that choice or not, I want them to know that, first of all, there is a beautiful life waiting for them. They just need to step into it and be open to whatever healing is offered to them to be able to get there. But you do have to take action. And the second is that you're worthy. We are all worthy whether we have children or not. Motherhood does not equal worthiness. Mm-hmm. Womanhood doesn't equal motherhood. We all have value, and it's up to us to practice that, to cultivating that value, cultivating that self-worth through self-love. It's possible.
Yeah, I love that. Mm-hmm. I will say for women, especially, like, just because you don't have children, you still have those nurturing feelings and possibilities, right? You just have so much love to offer. My children have greatly benefited from my friends that don't have kids, that have just loved my kids. Like, that's a mothering thing to do. Just because it didn't come from your womb, you're still a mother in so many ways. And the times when I needed a mom and my mom wasn't able to fill that role as I thought she should, my friends have been mothering to me. I don't call them mom, like, they're not 25 years older than me or 30 or 40, but we mother each other through difficulties. And that's part of the beauty of that connection that women have and need. So I love that you just offered such a greater world to those who are willing to do the work to get there.
Yeah, you're so right. It's, we all are mothers in a way. Mm-hmm. You know, people find that in different ways. I have my nieces and nephews. I have my friends' children. They've all become a blessing to me. Mm-hmm. And I bring them something totally different than what their parents bring them. It's mm-hmm. you're right. It's, if there's something that they can't get from their own mothers, they do get that from me or from someone else in their lives. Like, they're, you know, I can't give them everything either, but, but we do have something to offer. And childless women, just because you don't have the experience of raising a child on your own, you do know what it's, you know what children are like. You've been around children. You have an opinion. You have, you know, what you have to offer to those children. And that's part of your legacy as well.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. Yeah, I love that. I really appreciate this conversation. I know that I've had several people that I've talked to about this upcoming interview that were like, I didn't know there was a podcast for people like me. And I mean, isn't that so validating to find that quote unquote people like me, your people who get you? And no two lives are exactly the same, but just, we do have that empathy for others who have gone through things that we've gone through. And I feel like that's why we have some of these trials, is to be able to help other people when it's their turn.
Yes. Going back to, you know, that question about, could this have happened for me? And I think for a lot of people, they go through their trials and tribulations just to be able to help others get through it.
As hard as that is.
Yeah. But once you get past it, you've learned and you've grown, and it's actually also healing to share that, to watch other people grow through you, to watch them heal because of, in even in the tiniest of ways, because of something that you've said, or just holding space for them because you know that that person is similar to you. They need space held for them just to express themselves and share their feelings. So that's part of the healing, and it's part of the, what you can offer others as a result of your own tragedies.
Yeah. And I don't know about you, but you talk to someone and you can instantly go back to that moment for you. But at the same time, you can also appreciate, I really have come so far and I'm thankful. Like, I would never go back to that moment, but I'm thankful that I can go back, you know, in your mind to get into that empathy with someone else. But at the same time, celebrating, like, we really are so much more resilient than this world wants us to know. We are strong. And I won't say, like, you can handle and whatever God gives you, because I don't believe that's true. I think he gives us stuff we can't handle, so we'll turn to him. But it's also so important to celebrate what you've gone through and acknowledge that, and just whew, like hold some space for yourself too, as you're helping other people who are in similar situations, just to recognize you did it. Look at what you did. You're amazing.
Yeah. We all need to do more of that, don't we?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's, you know, even just for the women who are first experiencing a loss, whatever that is, just sometimes getting through the day requires celebration.
Mm-hmm. Deserves it.
Yeah. And we don't give ourselves that.
And I agree with you. That's part of the self-love, is just recognizing today was really hard and I did my best, and I'm going to honor that because tomorrow's coming for me. So just stay here and celebrate what you've done, because it's so much more than people really, really acknowledge for themselves.
Absolutely. We don't look back enough at what we've grown through, what we've been through, but also what we've grown through, and celebrate that as an achievement, because it is.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Well, I've really appreciated you being here today, and I love this conversation. It's going to help so many people. And I love this situation that we're talking about, because I don't really get to talk to too many people about miscarriage. I mean, people know if they know me, but it doesn't come up. It's not a comfortable conversation for very many. So I just appreciate that we can discuss it openly and not shame each other or judge each other, but just allow it to be, because it is, it's part of our story and there's no rewriting.
It's true. It is. It really is healing, even this far, you know, into my journey, and for you too, your years past yours too, but it still feels good to talk to someone about it openly and honestly, as you said.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we just hit a 5-year mark for my second stillborn son, April 3rd. My daughter the other day, she's 7. She's like, are we going to have more babies? And I was like, absolutely not. You got to wait for someone else to have a baby and we'll visit them. No way. Yeah. I'll never go back. But at the same time, like you said, you are a different person. And I'm thankful for the growth, although it is hard won.
Yeah, definitely.
So as we close up, Sherry has a very generous offer for our listeners. So I'm going to just let her tell you what that is.
Yeah, I have a quiz that is going to help you determine whether your self-worth is blocking you from your happiness as a childless woman or in infertility. And when you complete that quiz, you'll first get a sense of where you're at on your level of self-worth. But I also have some gifts that come with that. So there's some resources that I offer, and a PDF download, How to Embrace Your Childless Life. So yeah, I would encourage any of your listeners who are childless or on that infertility journey to head over and take the quiz and see where they're at.
Is that on your website?
Yes. I can give you a link for your show notes, but my website, sherryjohnson.ca, Sherry, S-H-E-R-I, Johnson.ca, and the quiz is right on the front page. So it's right front and center.
That's perfect. I appreciate that. I can't wait to hear. I want to hear back from my listeners if you've taken it. And if you connect with Sherry, she's a really great resource for anyone who's struggling in this arena. And we just honor all women. No matter your situation, as far as kids or family life or married, you do matter as you are. It's the society doesn't say that, but Sherry and I say it.
Absolutely. I agree with you, Becky.
Thank you for coming on.
Thank you so much for having me. I really enjoy the conversation.
Yeah, me too. We'll have you again, I'm sure.
Oh, that would be lovely.
All right. If you like what you've been hearing, please join our Facebook group. It's totally free. It's called Try Self-Love, and Kristen and I are on there to answer questions and get ideas from you guys on topics you want to hear about. We also have an email address if you want to contact us that way, tryselflovepodcast@gmail.com. And if I could ask you a favor, it would really help us if you would leave us a review. This helps other people find our podcast, and we know the world needs help loving itself better. Thanks again.